Smiling face back.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Yeah, where did you go? I mean,
I left on December 15th, yeah. Went to England and visited my brother, and a group of us drove up to Scotland for a week for Christmas, which was awesome.
That is so cool. While we had to rot here in Santa Cruz while you were having a great time.
I don't know if you're rotting. I heard it was raining the whole time I was gone, though.
It was sickening and disgusting. Anyhow, we're going to have a great time today, so welcome back. Great to see you.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know. On KSCO Radio.
Okay, we are going to have a special today for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get politically active. We're going to share some information with you. It's going to make you angry. So stay with us next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Are you aware that the freedom of speech guaranteed by our First Amendment does not apply when it comes to advertising scientifically proven beneficial health effects that food or nutritional supplements offer? That's right. Our government, through the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission, actively suppresses the dissemination of vital health information to the public. Does this disturb you? Can there be any legitimate reason why the government should prevent the public from hearing critical health information that could prevent thousands of people from suffering unnecessary illness and death? I'm not exaggerating or being overly dramatic here, ladies and gentlemen, and crazy as it may sound, it appears that our government does not want us to be healthy. But it is an absolute fact that our government thumbs its nose at our constitutional right to freedom of speech, at least when it comes to health issues. Luckily, there is something being done about this. H.R. 4282 is a bill now before Congress that would prevent the federal government from preventing the public from hearing information that could help us be healthier and live longer. Hear all about it on the next KSCO special featuring distinguished constitutional attorney Jonathan Emord and other fighters for freedom this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Guardian Angel Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Oh, geez, what do I... Did you hear that? Throat clearing with a mic on? God, that's awful. All right, it's 9 minutes after 10 a.m. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KSCO Saturday Special. And let's not take any time. Let's just go ahead and introduce our first fighter for freedom. That would be Steve Wallach, who's the CEO of American Longevity. Steve, are you there?
I'm here, Michael.
Hey, welcome to the Saturday Special. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
And we touched on this subject once about a year ago when you were on talking about how you had become a little disgusted with when you got into the nutritional supplement business that we are in together. You and I and an army of people who are out to educate the public about the importance of nutrition, American Longevity Nutrition in particular. But, you know, we want to put out the word that people do not have to depend on toxic prescription drugs. But I think what happened is we were all sort of surprised when it became eminently clear that the government does not really want this information to be made available to the public. And when did you find that out, and how did you react?
Well, I don't know when I first found it out, but it seemed to be kind of a slow and gradual process. But it definitely frustrates me and really does, as you say, kind of makes you angry. And, you know, when you you think, well, you know, it just sounds like fanatics out there saying, oh, the big bad FDA doesn't want health and nutrition information to reach the public. That just sounds preposterous. And you know, it, on first glance, it does sound preposterous because the FDA is supposed to be out there protecting the public and making sure that, you know, we get healthful information and that things that harm us aren't available on the market and are pulled off the market. And, you know, that's what we're all told and taught. But the reality of the situation is that when you begin interacting with the FDA in particular, you quickly come to realize that they really do set out to protect the pharmaceutical and drug industry. And I'm still not clear as to exactly why that is. They definitely want to, their actions anyway, say they want to protect the pharmaceutical and drug industry, and they really don't want people having free access to supplements when it comes to getting information to better our health and to get freedom of information when we're talking about disease states in particular. They really work hard to restrict that information. And when you think about it, this isn't just wild information. When you think about it on terms or in terms of like folic acid, the FDA adamantly did not want folic acid information reaching the public. They didn't want doctors disseminating that information. They didn't want supplement purveyors disseminating that information, obviously. And when you think about folic acid, a simple B vitamin, now pretty much everybody understands that consuming folic acid is not only a good thing for our heart health and for preventing neural tube birth defects. I mean, the March of Dimes, for goodness sakes, has public service announcements on radio and TV and print media talking about women of childbearing age need to be consuming an adequate amount of folic acid daily.
But there had to be a fight for that.
That's the crazy thing, Michael, yeah. Is most people don't realize that there had to be a vicious fight to get that information freely disseminated to the public. And that's the perplexing part still to me, even though I deal with this on a daily basis. Why? Why? And Jonathan Emord has the answers. Jonathan Emord, this is his business. This is what he does. And he's the one that spearheaded that fight and got the folic acid claims available for us to be able to disseminate to people. Now, obviously, under the First Amendment, print media and public service announcements, that information can certainly get to the public. But when you combine it with a product, all of a sudden it becomes illegal. Why? It's truthful information. It shouldn't be suppressed. In fact, what better way to get it to the public, to the consuming public, than through companies that have products that people are looking for? And why not have information at the point of sale, at the instant people are looking for information? Why not give them more information to make a better informed choice and have more information available? We believe people, the general public, you know, globally, but certainly in the United States for sure, more information is better.
Steve, did something happen years ago that sparked your interest in this freedom of speech issue? I mean, did you go on the mat or did American Longevity go on the mat with the FDA about labeling or anything? Was there any kind of a problem that spurred this interest of yours, or
not in particular? But obviously, being in the or on the corporate side of the dietary supplement industry, there's certain claims that we would like to be able to make that we believe to be truthful. We know to be truthful about certain nutrients. For instance, selenium reduces the risk of certain cancers. Well, when we presented that to our regulatory attorneys, that we wanted to be able to get, you know, this information into our catalogs and on our labels, we know it to be true. Dr. Gerhard Schrauser, professor emeritus of UCSD, who's the world's foremost expert on the trace mineral selenium. Dr. Wallach obviously is extremely knowledgeable about, you know, the benefits of selenium. So for goodness sake, we wanted to get that information out to the public. We wanted to associate it with the sale of our selenium-containing products. And we were told by our regulatory attorneys and our corporate attorneys, oh, you can't say that. You can't associate the word cancer with, you know, your products that contain selenium. And we said, well, we have all this scientific literature, all this research, not ours. It's independent. It's university, double-blind, placebo-controlled, well-designed human clinical studies that prove this to be true. And we were told it doesn't matter. that you still are not allowed to associate a disease state with a nutrient when you're combining it with a product. If you want to write an article and publish the article or a book, no problem. You can say pretty much anything you want. But when you want to put it on a product label, when you want to put it in a product brochure or a product advertisement, all of a sudden it becomes extremely restricted as to what you're allowed to do and say.
Yeah.
And so since that time, we've been on a crusade, certainly, to get this information out to the general public at the point of sale.
Right.
And again, it goes back to those folic acid claims. Well, how many neural tube birth defects have been prevented in getting this information out? How many children's lives, how many families have been saved and spared the devastating effect of neural tube birth defects because this information is now prevalently available at the point of sale of dietary supplements that contain folic acid?
That's the positive way of looking at it. Let's not even talk about the negative way of looking at it for all the years that it wasn't permitted.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You're exactly right.
Okay, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ, with Steve Wallach, who is the guy in charge, CEO of American Longevity, a fine nutritional supplement company. Take it from me, I know. And we are going to bring on our special guest today, Jonathan Emord, who is an attorney who practices a very specialized form of law. Jonathan is in Washington, D.C. And let's bring on Jonathan right now. Welcome him to the Saturday Special. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you, Michael?
Very good, thanks. So we've known you as an FDA, FTC attorney, but you're really a constitutional attorney, aren't you?
Right.
Tell us how long you've been practicing and what got you interested in this branch of law that seems to be very highly specialized. There aren't too many of you guys out there doing what you do. Am I right?
That's right. I've been practicing constitutional and administrative law since 1984.
What happened to you that made you want to?
Well, when I was in law school, I was a strong civil libertarian, and I wrote a paper on the First Amendment for my seminar class, and my professor said I'd like to keep that paper, and I said, I'll let you keep it if you promise you'll give me an A, and he said, I'll give you an A, and I said, okay, you can have the paper. So he sent it off to a fellow named Jerry Fritz, who was the chief of staff of the Federal Communications Commission, and Mr. Fritz called me on the phone, asked me if I wanted to work for the Federal Communications Commission. I said, no, I didn't think the Federal Communications Commission should exist. He said, neither do I. Come on out here. It's the Reagan administration.
I've always liked you, Jonathan. Now I like you that much more.
There you go.
I didn't know that about you. My gosh.
Well, that's how I got out to Washington. It was during the Reagan administration, 1984, beginning of the second term, and I've had a passionate commitment about protecting civil liberties and honoring the constitutional civil rights of people for as far back as I can remember. So this fight, I was at the law firm of Wiley, Ryan, and Fielding for a number of years, worked there with a partner there who's there now for 7.5 years, and then I went to the Cato Institute, worked there as vice president. And that's when two people, Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw, contacted me and asked me if I would look into this nutritional area. They said we're suffering under enormous censorship that denies us the right to communicate truthful nutrient disease information to the public, and we'd like you to sue the Food and Drug Administration.
What? That's probably your reaction. What?
Well,
you were very excited about that.
I wanted to take a look at the area and find out exactly what was going on, and I was shocked to find out, much to my chagrin, that long after the Alien and Sedition Acts had been held unconstitutional and had been eliminated in the administration of John Adams, the Alien and Sedition Acts were designed to prevent any person from criticizing the government, and was a form of censorship that was absolute. And in response to it, in the 1790s, Jefferson and Madison wrote their Virginia and Kentucky resolutions explaining why the First Amendment was intended to prevent such censorship by government. And then here we are in the 20th century, now in the 21st century, with an element of our government, a part of our government, still censoring truthful information. It's an extraordinary anomaly, and it interested me greatly, and so I began a movement with these clients to sue the Food and Drug Administration again and again to block instances of censorship. And we've defeated the Food and Drug Administration 5 times in federal court, actually 6 times, 5 times on First Amendment grounds. And despite those victories, the FDA ignores the law, refuses to comply with court orders, and continues to censor the very same information over and over again.
Well, wait a second, Jonathan. You say ignores court orders. Does that mean that once you get one of these health claims approved and you start using it, that the FDA is still coming down on people?
Well, the FDA will allow the specific claim that you've won to be made. However, all other claims that are similar to it, all other claims that the standard of protection articulated by the court would protect, they simply refuse to allow. The courts have said to the FDA that if a claim is backed by science, the FDA must allow the claim to be made and must resort to the use of a qualification or a disclaimer if there's any potential for the claim to mislead. That's the government's solution, to let more information into the market so consumers are not misled. Well, unfortunately for us all, the FDA is refusing to abide by those court orders that set that standard, and instead is censoring the information and is doing it to the great cost of American lives and health. For example, it is illegal in the United States to say that omega-3 fatty acids reduce the risk of sudden death heart attack. Now, that is an uncontroversial point of science. There's an enormous amount of evidence that omega-3 fatty acids, that's fish oil, oftentimes found in fish or in fish oil supplements, that those omega-3 fatty acids are antithrombotic, anticoagulants, and antiarrhythmic. All of the key factors that lead the sudden death heart attack are favorably affected by ingestion of fish oil every day. Well, the government's own statistics show that of the 300,000 sudden death heart attacks experienced each year on average, 110,000 of them could be prevented if all American adults consumed fish oil. Yet, that vital information that you would think your government would ensure would be in the market isn't there. And why isn't it there? Because the FDA censors it.
And why does
the FDA censor the information?
I can't wait to hear your answer.
The FDA censors that information because it is protecting the largest monopolies in the world, the drug companies. It costs $1.6 billion on average to get one drug approved in the United States.
With a B? I didn't know
with
that.
With a B.
I knew it was many millions, but wow.
$1.6 billion, and once the FDA goes through this process with this enormous amount of money behind it and the extraordinary political clout that the drug companies have, it devotes itself to protecting those drugs from any form of competition, any form, including truthful information about how nutrients affect disease. I'll give you a funny example. It's not so funny when you realize the broad implications of it, but it'll be mildly humorous. If you, Michael, were to sell prune juice, and you put on the label of your prune juice bottle, "Prune juice treats chronic constipation," there's nobody in your audience and nobody in the world who would doubt that. It's true. But despite the fact that it's true, it's illegal. And what could happen to you? All your prune juice could be taken from the market, seized by the government, by federal marshals. Your business could be shut down. You could be prosecuted under the civil and criminal provisions of the act. you would be said to be selling prune juice as an unapproved new drug, and you could be incarcerated for as much as 20 years. So contemplate that.
But if I were to somehow
shoot somebody and go to jail, and you might be in there for 10 to 20 years under our criminal justice system, maybe less. But if you dare put on a prune juice bottle that it treats chronic constipation, get ready, because you're going to have a longer sentence. You might go to jail for 20 years for telling the public the truth.
Okay, now obviously you can tell it on a one-to-one basis. I mean, when it's broadcast, it puts it into a different realm of regulation, right?
No. If you're selling the product and you say it, you write it, print it.
Even if I say it to a friend, this will cure your constipation.
If you're selling it to that friend, get ready because you just committed a crime.
Whether or not it was broadcast on radio or television or
that's right
internet or whatever.
That's right. The FDA has an absolute prohibition on every treatment claim made at the point of sale by someone selling a nutrient or a food. It's outrageous. The effect is extraordinary. Glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, the evidence for those substances, which are derived from chicken cartilage and from the exoskeleton of sea crustaceans, that information that glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate can treat osteoarthritis, which is true, it helps repair torn cartilage and is very effective at it. That vital information could help 20 million Americans right now. It could reduce their pain and suffering. It could improve their joint mobility in 20 million Americans. What is going on?
Well, Jonathan, surely somebody, I'm in accord with your belief that the government is protecting the pharmaceutical interests. However, shouldn't there be some governmental regulation to provide for scoundrels and fraudulent people from making claims, wild and untrue claims?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And in fact,
how do you do that? I mean, that must be the reason that the government will say that they're doing things the way they're doing it, and not the reason that you and I believe.
Well, you know, we can also stop libel in the United States if we prevent anyone from saying anything at all. See, the point is that you have a right to freedom of speech. You have a right to say the truth. The government has no constitutional power to prevent you from communicating the truth. If you say a falsehood, and that falsehood is material to a sale, you just committed fraud, and the government has full power to go after you. Well,
and shouldn't that be?
Absolutely, it should be. And in fact, the bill that we are talking about, or about ready to talk about, H.R. 4282, the Health Freedom Protection Act, was specifically designed to allow the government full power, protect that full power, leave it in place to prosecute fraud, but to take from the government any power to stop the dissemination of truthful health information. Get government out of the business.
And how do they do that? Who's going to decide that there are enough double-blind studies and so forth?
Well, that's the interesting thing. The ultimate decision has to be with the public. The point about truth, this is, you know, something that will occur to you as you'll go, hit your head and say, that's obvious. As long as you accurately represent the scientific information, it's true. So, for example, if the scientific evidence for folic acid reducing the risk of neural tube defects is backed by a substantial quantity of evidence, we can say folic acid reduces the risk of neural tube defects. The evidence supporting this claim is substantial, but not conclusive, which is true. Interestingly enough, the evidence for folic acid reducing neural tube defects is extraordinary, perhaps as great as all evidence on a nutrient affecting a disease ever. However, it's not conclusive. Now, let me tell you something.
Once we got that claim allowed,
700 children a year on average are now not getting neural tube defects who before the claim was allowed were. During the time of the government censorship for a period of 4 years, there were 2,500 preventable neural tube defect births on average each year. That's 10,000 children who have the very real consequence of having to live with the extraordinary cost and medical disability that is caused by neural tube defects when you live, spina bifida and anencephaly, or were aborted. And there are countless abortions. And the government countenanced that by censoring the information. Now, the science wasn't conclusive, but it was very strong. And with the claim out there, what has happened?
Well, good. Lots of good has happened.
3% of the women who had known of this association at the time the censorship was in place has gone up to a figure of 33%. And the incidence of neural tube defects across the United States has dropped by 700 people a year on average. There are 700 babies born healthy each year on average that would otherwise have had neural tube defects if that information wasn't out there. So, while scientists will quibble that the evidence is not yet conclusive, who cares? If the information is more probable than not, let's get it accurately communicated.
Sure.
And then let the American people decide what they want to do with their own health.
How conclusive is it that prune juice fixes constipation?
Well, take a big swig and try it out for yourself.
I think it's pretty conclusive. So do you think that the government would have a problem? Well, I guess the government still would have a problem under the rules of today of saying that there's a strong possibility, but it's not conclusive, that prune juice fixes.
Well, let's look at this objectively. I'll give you a direct example. I mean, I was involved with all of these struggles for health claims just about. Only a few health claims have been filed by the government by anybody but me. And I'll tell you, I've had an inside bird's eye view of what goes on. And let me give you a good example with the glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate claim. I assembled a bunch of scientists. They produced a massive amount of evidence, and this evidence showed very clearly that glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate repair torn cartilage and actually treat osteoarthritis and actually reduce pain and suffering in people who have osteoarthritis. All right, with all this mountain of evidence, the company that I represented filed 33 health claims, approximately, there might have been 35, associating glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate with beneficial physiological effects on joints, including reduction in osteoarthritis symptomology. Well, what happened? At first, we went over to the FDA at their invitation, had our scientists there, their scientists were there, debated the whole matter, talked it all the way through, and the chief counsel of the FDA, then chief counsel, leans over to me and says, "You know, Jonathan, I think we can get some of these claims through." In addition, he says, "I take glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, and I know it helps. I'm a runner." He brings in a doctor from the outside who's in there at his request, who also says that glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate science is good science. And so we all anticipated the government would allow a claim. A couple of months go by, and I get a call. "Jonathan, we're going to do something different this time. We're going to refer this to a food advisory committee panel, and we're going to put together that panel and have a number of scientists on it that we select. And we're going to refer the whole thing to them and have them decide what to do with it." I didn't have much of a choice. So they went ahead and did that. Well, the panel they formed had people on it who had conflicts of interest, who were employed by the drug companies presently or in the immediate past, who have a direct interest in preventing that information out. That is, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug makers, the ones who sell pain-killing pills that, like Vioxx, that treat the pain but don't do anything for the underlying disease. You end up not feeling the pain, and the condition worsens because you don't feel the pain. You keep rubbing your joints together and moving along, not knowing you're destroying your cartilage, but no treatment for the cartilage destruction. Well, this conflict of interest, the federal government, and they're you can get these documents if you send a Freedom of Information Act request. They waived all these conflicts of interest, every single one of them. And then they put it to that panel, and they voted according to their conflicts. They voted against allowing any of the information out. Now, this is corruption. And this is an example of abuse. And as a result of that, there are 20 million Americans out there who suffer from joint pain and stiffness, who are not getting any information in the marketplace at all about how glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate might help them. Now, I've got plenty of friends, and I myself use glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. I'm 45 years old, and I run a marathon just about every week. I have no joint pain and stiffness, and this is all anecdotal. But there's science out there to show it works. So why in the United States of America, with a First Amendment to the United States Constitution that says government has no power to restrict freedom of speech or the press, where we look to the open marketplace of ideas to come to truth, where we depend upon information accurately communicated, and where we trust in the individual to decide what is in their own best interest, why in a great country founded on those principles do we have a system that denies the public information to protect drug companies from competition with a government agency that is corrupt, and that we look to that agency and say, oh, there must be some sound reason for all of this? I'll tell you what the sound reason is. The sound reason is that we're protecting the profits of drug companies, monopoly profits. And we have an agency of the government that is wholly beholden to these enormously powerful interests and is doing a grave disservice to the American people. That's the story.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. I can't. I don't think anybody can. And if there is somebody out there listening to us, please call us at 479-1080 in area 831 or 477-1340. It's MZ with Jonathan Emord. We also have Steve Wallach, a special guest on the KSCO Saturday special. We're talking about your right to know scientifically proven medical information, health and nutritional information that apparently our government does not want you to know. Now, we're not just bitching about this, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing something about it. What are we doing, Jonathan?
Well, there is a bill supported by 100 different companies, supported by 15 members of Congress, liberals and conservatives alike. It's called H.R. 4282, the Health Freedom Protection Act. It very simply denies government the power to censor truthful information, and it leaves fully in place all federal power to prosecute fraud. That bill is pending in Congress right now. Sam Farr is not yet on the bill. Congressman Sam Farr from the Santa Cruz area is not yet on the bill. I'd strongly urge those in the audience who believe in their freedom of speech, believe they have a right to receive truthful information, to call Sam Farr, either in his local office in Santa Cruz at 831-429-1976, 831-429-1976, or in his Washington office at 202-225-2861 and ask him, indeed implore him, to get on this bill to support it.
Have you talked to him?
I have not talked to him. We're trying to reach him, and I think, honestly, because I think that he is a decent human being and a good man, I think he will do this, and I think what he really needs to hear is that his constituents are willing to stand up for their rights, and so should he.
Uh-huh.
And this is a vital thing.
We need to tell you that we tried diligently to get Sam to be on the program with us, even only for 5 minutes, if possible. And Michael, maybe you can get Rosie on the line and ask her to call in, because she talked to the office to find out about that. This, I think, would be interesting if we can get her to call in. If you can't, no big deal. But I want to find out exactly what was said. But in any case, he's not here. We did get a message yesterday that he would be absolutely unable to attend, even for a minute. So that's not a good sign. But
well, that's not a good sign. But yeah. I'll tell you, He's going to hear a lot more, I'm sure, from his constituents. And I'd urge them, go to the website stopfdacensorship.org. And there you can send an email letter to your congressman, and you can send an email letter already prepared. You fill in your name and address information, endorsing the bill. It's very simple. And you just hit a button and off it goes to Sam Farr. He needs to hear how many people out there don't want this country ruled by interests from the pharmaceutical companies and a system of censorship, who want their freedom protected, who believe in their right to free speech and civil liberties and want this information out there. We have a right to free speech. We have a right to health freedom. We have a right to know information that can save people's lives. And Sam Farr should not stand in the way of it, but should be for it. And he should answer the question where he stands.
And we're not going to jump on people who disagree with us, but I really would encourage anybody who's listening to us who thinks that they have any kind of a valid disagreement to please call in. 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want a fax, the fax number is 475-2967. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. Let's open up the phone lines at 1042. Take our first caller, Jay in Santa Cruz.
Jay, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ, Steve, and John. Or Jonathan.
Hi, this is actually Joy.
Oh, Joy, I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry, I had to call in, but I don't disagree. I just have to put out a couple of profound thoughts. I've been in this for 35 years. We are, all of us who do know about health are health Nazis, and you have to want to be healthy so bad that you go out of the main realm and forge into the information, which is basically mouth-to-mouth because they don't allow the truth to be said. Thank you for Dr. Wallach. I've been listening to him for, I think, over 20 years. I don't even remember, but he is out there. He has taught us more about how our body works. And like our Amazon herbs, I got to tell you, is that there are drug companies out in the Amazon falling all over themselves trying to cordon up all of those herbs out there so that the regular people can't get them. But the elders out there who know about those herbs will not give them the answers because they know that they can convolute them and ruin them. So they're not getting anywhere out there. But the few herbs they get, they'll put in something and then advertise that herb and then fill it with a bunch of garbage, which discredits the herb. So I was going to say, most of us who are healthy, we are 15 to 20 years ahead. We'll do something in the 70s, it comes out in the 90s. Did something in the 80s, it came out in 2000. It's like, and the, I wanted to let you know, the glucosamine and chondroitin, I worked at a hospital 22 years, which is a real laugh, but all the nurses take that because they knew it helped them, regardless of what the doctors thought. And this subject infuriates me because, as you said, it has to be word of mouth, and you have to say, well, if you take this, it helps you eliminate better. Or if you take this, it seemed to help my bones feel better. Or I seem to have more energy. And it's like, how come doctors can give so many drugs and somebody can get maimed, ill, die, or something else goes wrong because of all the drugs, and they go, oh, well, we'll try something else. And if you work in a hospital, you see the truth. And most of us who are health-minded had to leave the hospital regardless of loss of pay, loss of coverage, loss of retirement. We just couldn't stand it. And so you can see this has a big, people need to look for themselves. And here's the other thing. If you have a healthy body, then you have a healthy mind. And you can't control people as well with a healthy mind and a healthy body as you can a bunch of sick people droned out on meds all the time, right?
Yeah.
And the money is the whole thing. When I had surgery, I refused all medications. And they put them on my bill anyhow because it was assigned to me. Do you know that I had to fight to get that $900 taken off my bill? And when I went to the cancer clinics, they really educated us on the drug companies, what, why, and how. And we need to stand up and fight loud. But you know what? There's millions of us who do Dr. Wallach stuff, and we do the Amazon herbs, and we eat healthy, and we're quiet because we're living healthy and happy, and the population, as the movie stars want to get healthier and they start talking about it all, then it'll hit, of course.
Well, Joy, the purpose of this program is to make you angry, and it sounds like we have.
Yeah, well, I've always been, but okay, you know, I'm a quiet, healthy person in the background. Thank you.
Thanks for calling
KSCO
Saturday Special. Our next caller will be John in Capitola. John, welcome to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, Michael, and thank you very much. And yes, you're right. It is my favorite radio station, and as always, cutting edge, leading edge.
Thank you.
I'm just, Joy stole a little bit of my thunder. I was also in the medical field for over 25 years, now retired, thank the Lord. Word of mouth is the way that I first started getting introduced to vitamins way back when, vitamins and clean water, may I add. I won't go into all of that too much. I just wanted to say that in listening previously to your guest, somebody said, I'm not sure if it was you or him, that, you know, what about the expense of the double-blind studies and such? I've been taking vitamins for over 30 years, and I can't remember the exact name of the German government agency that has done extensive, I mean, global coverage on a plethora of supplements and natural herbs and remedies that have been conducted with typical German thoroughness. The name of the database escapes me, but there have, you know, when I first started.
Steve or Jonathan would know that, I'm sure, right, guys? Steve or Jonathan, are you there?
Steve? I think it's the Commissionee Monograph.
Oh.
Is that... I'm not sure.
Oh, there, I hear you.
There's the Commissionee Monograph.
But, you know, the ability to perform these double-blind curve studies and their efficacy as to their restorative or curative powers has already been done. Now, whether or not it would be allowed to be placed in a record or allowed to be influence the decisions of the FDA, I would doubt it without the kind of legislation that Jonathan is talking about. And, you know, I'll get off real quick. I just, as always, Michael, timely subject. Thank you so very much for these very interesting and informative people.
Okay. Thank you, John. John in Capitola. Here comes Neil in Hollister. You're next on the KSCO Saturday Special. Hey, Neil.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, Michael, I'm responding to your request for contrary or balancing opinions.
Great, okay.
While I'm certainly no shill for the pharmaceutical companies, I do have a couple questions to ask of Mr. Wallach. First of all, is your vitamin company a nonprofit?
No, of course it's not a nonprofit. We're a company that is, like most companies, we are a for-profit company. However, we do contribute a significant portion of those profits and proceeds to these health claim petitions, for instance, which once approved become public domain. There's no patentability or copyright ability such as the drug companies enjoy.
Well, let me get back to that in a moment. My second question is, what were your gross annual sales for 05? What was the dollar amount?
I was far less than any one of the major drug companies.
That's not my question. That wasn't my. I'm not surprised you respond that way. But
hey, Neil, wait a second, Neil. I got a question for you. How much money do you make? What's your salary or what's your income from your investments and so forth? Isn't that sort of a personal question?
No. Yes, it is, because I am a private individual, but I'm asking somebody who represents a corporation.
But it's not a publicly held corporation. It's a privately held corporation. Right, Steve?
That's correct.
Well, okay. Steve, your hesitancy to answer the question indicates that you're somehow embarrassed about the amount of profits. So since you refuse to answer that question, even though you're for full disclosure, seemingly, let me ask you this final question. The proposition...
Do you think our profits being disclosed or not disclosed is somehow relevant to getting truthful health information out to consumers?
Your earlier points is that pharmaceutical companies have a conflict of interest, either profits are involved, and what if you truly believe that objectivity cannot exist
right
where profits,
those profits
dominate...
Wait a minute. Jonathan and Steve, just let Neil say his piece, and then you can respond to him, okay?
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say. Let me say my piece, and I'll be on my way.
Well, no, I want you to stay on, because I want you to be able to answer questions from Jonathan and Steve after you. I don't want you to just throw the rock and hide the hand and leave. Okay, so
well, I'm hardly
on those terms, Neil, continue.
All right. right? I'm hardly throwing a rock. I'm merely pointing out to your listeners that there is a ton of money being made by vitamin companies, the ones that manufacture them, package them, sell them, retail them, multi-market schemes, the whole bit. And your listener should also be reminded of the fact that this company is your, I would assume, it's a safe assumption that it's the single biggest sponsor of your broadcast organization. So I'm not finding a whole lot of objectivity.
I don't know
here.
If that's true. If it's not true, it's almost true. Okay,
yeah, well,
but what does it matter?
Now,
does that somehow mean that the...
Well, it makes the show seem more like an infomercial than one of your normally excellent programs.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I'm seeing confliction of interest all over the place, and yet your guests are claiming that, that one of their biggest complaints about the pharmaceutical companies is conflict of interest. I'm not saying it doesn't exist with the pharmaceutical companies. As I say, I'm certainly well aware of the unholy alliance that exists between pharmaceutical companies and doctors. But if you think the profits don't motivate the sale of vitamins and minerals, you're being incredibly naive.
No, I don't think
and
that at all.
And some of them can be incredibly
dangerous. Nor do I think profits are a sin, and nor do you, because I don't know whether you own a business or are someone's employee.
I never said profits are a sin. You're talking to a real dyed-in-the-wool capitalist here. But I don't believe that you should criticize somebody else for some of the things that you yourself are doing. And also, if these bills go through and if we all... get upset and call far and whatever, so on and so forth. The bottom line is the company run by your guests will make more money, and they cannot avoid that fact.
I disagree with that.
Oh, so in other words,
actually,
if you're able to make claims for your...
Wait, okay, now Neil, I'm going to have to put you on hold, but I do want you to hear what Steve and John have to say in response to what you just said, and then we've got Rosie coming up right after your call. So go ahead, Steve.
I believe that with the approval of this bill, people will be healthier, and I don't believe that we as a company will statistically sell any more or any less of our vitamin products and mineral products with or without the passage of this bill. I can also say that we have spent more in the last 5 years on getting these health claims approved, which, again, are public domain for everybody to use, than our profits have been combined. So we have spent more to get public domain information out to the general public that is healthy, life-saving information than we have to make money. So I disagree wholeheartedly with your comments, Neil.
Okay. Now, Jonathan, what do you have to say to Neil?
The bill would increase the amount of truthful information in the market. We have opponents who are large supplement companies as well as the drug companies. Why do large supplement companies oppose the bill? They oppose the bill because truthful information, that is more information about what products actually do, will increase competition in the market, decrease profitability, change the dynamics in the market so that big companies experience true competition. Right now, the prohibition on the communication of truthful information in the market locks out of the market a large number of people who would like to get in and prevents small companies from having the ability to communicate truthful information that would increase their ability to compete with large companies. So the real dynamic, not the hypothetical one, the real one is that large dietary supplement companies, as well as all the drug companies, oppose this bill. And who supports this bill? This bill is supported by the MLK March, by Reverend James E. Orange, because it means African Americans can get information about how nutrients affect disease. He's certainly not a for-profit representative. He's a non-profit individual. Several media organizations support this. Several commentators do. I'm supporting this bill, and I'm not paid to do one lick of work for this.
It would seem to me that it would be in your interest, Jonathan, it would seem to me that the contrary would be the case, that it would be in your feathering your nest type interest to not support this bill, because
well, that's right,
because you're a lawyer who makes your money from people like Steve Wallach hiring you to fight the federal government on individual health claims, which
well,
could,
that's right,
which
and
could make a career for you forever.
Right. Let me give you just a little history on that. When I came to Washington, I came here during the Reagan administration. I'm an ideologue. I believe in the free speech rights of the people of this country. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's why I wrote this bill. I will not do one thing, and I promise you this, because I'm only here for a short period of time and I have an eternity to account for my actions, and that's how I view it. I will do nothing that I think hurts the American people, deprives them of information that's helpful. But I wrote a book called Freedom, Technology, and the First Amendment when I practiced communications law that would have deregulated the area and made me unemployed. I was criticized by other lawyers. I was criticized by public interest groups that favored the regulation. And in this case of the bill, I've written the bill for Congressman Ron Paul, one of the most honest people. He may not agree with his politics, but he's one of the most honest people in the country. The remarkable thing about this bill, and I wrote the bill with no instruction other than make sure it allows truthful information to get out and make sure you don't do anything to prevent the government from prosecuting fraud. I'm not paid to write the bill. I'm not paid to support passage of the bill. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars of my own money advocating this bill. The groups that are a part of behind this, 100 companies, not a single one is paid to be a part of the group. All of them are contributing money, and they're allowing me entirely to determine how to promote the bill. In addition to that, this bill is supported by liberal Democrats, by conservative Republicans, and by libertarians. This is not a partisan bill. This is a bill that is simple. It's a civil rights bill, and it's designed to allow truthful information into the market. Those who oppose truth don't want this bill. And it is as simple as that, because that's all this bill does.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. And
thank you, Neil from Hollister, for calling. And we really do invite other callers with a different perspective to call. We will gladly put you on 479-1080, 477-1340. Let's bring on our own Rosie Chalmers here next. Rosie, thanks for calling in. How you feeling? How you doing?
I'm doing very well, MZ. Thank you very much.
And you'll be back in the saddle tomorrow or Monday, right?
I will be, and I just thought you'd like to know, as part of my therapy for getting well from a recent illness, my physician prescribed me very high doses of omega-3 fatty acids, which I am including as well as taking pharmaceutical drugs. So,
how about that?
Yeah, no, that's very good. It's good she embraces all forms of medicine. excuse me, in response to your question about Sam Farr, I was in the office on Thursday and I called and talked to Jessica, his media person, with whom we have a very good relationship at KSBO. Sam was traveling until late Friday night. She did not have his schedule for today. I did impress upon her that it would be a very good idea if you were able to call in, albeit even only for 5 minutes. And I said, you know, this is his constituents, and they need to hear from him as to how he feels about this particular bill and whether he supports it or is against it. And I did stress to her that we would like to hear from him. As of that conversation, she was to call back and speak with Rick on Friday, and I don't know the resolution.
Oh, she did. And she called back and left the message with Rick that there is absolutely no way that Sam Farr could call today.
Oh, well, she did say that he was traveling until late Friday night, but he is back in the district.
Uh-huh.
So if anyone wants to contact him, they should just contact his local office on Monday morning and let him know how they feel, for sure, because he does listen, and he certainly needs to listen if it's his own constituents rather than other people.
He's on quite a bit on your program, no?
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's usually very accessible, I have to say. Even when it's stuff that he doesn't necessarily agree with or that he doesn't necessarily want to talk about, he's always been accessible to us. So I don't know if it was extenuating circumstances or not, but I really did stress to her that if it was at all possible, he should join us today. So
thank you, Rosie.
Okay, boss.
Appreciate it. See
Bye-bye.
You. See you Monday.
Yep.
Okay, that was Rosie Chalmers. Where it's 10 seconds up to news time. We got Bernie from New York and Gary from Live Oak and Jonathan and Steve with us. There's a lot more. On K.
And a patch of blue has died. She was 85. Shelley Winters died of heart failure early today in Beverly Hills. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
KSCO 1080 on your dial.
That's right. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I am Michael Williams. It is Saturday, January 14th, 2006, and I've got your Central Coast weather report. Looks like we got some overcast skies with rain showers, thunder possible, highs from the 57 degree Fahrenheit, and winds of west to southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Our chance of rain is about 80%, and we're going to get about a quarter of an inch today. On the bay, we got a small craft advisory, which remains in effect through late Sunday night, and a west to northwest wind increasing to 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 2 to 5 feet, a west swell 9 to 14 feet at 14-second intervals. It is currently 54 degrees here at the station and also currently slightly sunny outside. So we take you to the second of 2 hours of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Hey, Michael, have you heard Kay's latest commentary?
No, I have not, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, well, it's sort of a reprise of a previous one with something tacked at the beginning here. I mean, Kay is not happy with the media. Let's start hour number two officially first, and then we'll go to that. That's what we call a tease in the radio biz.
Here to do it.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special from the last independent radio station in the world, AM 1080 KSCO, Michael Z, with special guests. Great subject today.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And instead of, before we get back into the meat of today's topic, we will do what we traditionally do at the head of hour number two of the Saturday special and play the latest from Kay.
Here is Kay's whirling.
And clear that the liberal media hopes we fail in Iraq. By design and choice, they report all negative news and totally ignore all positive occurrences in Iraq. They've chosen to put politics above the welfare of our country, and this is treason. They continue to assault the morale of our troops, the very troops they profess to support. For these reasons, the following commentary will be repeated again and again to remind us that indeed we are winning in Iraq, despite the media doom-wishers.
The following is a KSCO encore presentation of an earlier commentary by Kay's Whirling.
Did you know this? Did you know that 47 countries have reestablished their embassies in Iraq? Did you know that the Iraqi government employs 1.2 million Iraqi people? Did you know that 3,100 schools have been renovated? 364 schools are under rehabilitation. 263 schools are now under construction, and 38 new schools have been built in Iraq. I didn't know that. Did you also know that Iraq's higher education structure consists of 20 universities, 46 institutes or colleges, and 4 research centers? And did you know that 25 Iraqi students departed for the United States in January of 2004 for the reestablished Fulbright program? Did you know that the Iraqi Navy is operational? They have 5 100-foot patrol craft, 34 smaller vessels, and a naval infantry regiment? I didn't know any of these things. Did you know that Iraq's Air Force consists of 3 operation squadrons, 9 reconnaissance, and 3 U.S. C-130 transport aircraft, which operate day and night? and will soon add 16 UH-1 helicopters and 4 Bell Jet Rangers. Isn't that awesome? Did you know that Iraq has a counter-terrorist unit and a commando battalion? Do you also know that the Iraqi police service has over 55,000, yes, I said 55,000, fully trained and equipped police officers? I didn't know any of these things. Did you know that there are 5 police academies in Iraq that produce over 3,500 new officers each 8 weeks? That's astonishing. Did you know there are more than 1,100 building projects going on in Iraq, 67 public clinics, 15 hospitals, 83 railroad stations, 22 oil facilities, 93 water facilities, and 69 electrical facilities? Why is it we don't know these things? Did you know that 96% of Iraqi children under the age of 5 have received the first 2 series of polio vaccinations? And did you know that 4.3 million Iraqi children were enrolled in primary school last October? Do you know that there are almost 2 million cell phone subscribers in Iraq? Did you know that Iraq has an independent media that consists of 75 radio stations, 180 newspapers, and 10 television stations? It just blows my mind. We didn't know any of these things. Did you know that the Baghdad Stock Exchange opened in June of 2004? Of course we didn't know. Why didn't we know? Our media wouldn't tell us. This is called the sin of omission. Instead of shouting these accomplishments from every rooftop, they would rather show photos of what a few perverted malcontent soldiers have done in prisons, in many cases never disclosing the circumstances surrounding the events. Instead of showing our love for our country, we get photos of Abu Ghraib and people throwing snowballs at presidential motorcades. This lack of accentuating the positive in Iraq serves only one purpose. It undermines the world's perception of the United States and of our soldiers, and it gives aid and comfort to the terrorist enemies. Shame on the American media. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
And we have received quite a number of requests. Caller, I just was handed a thing. Caller says your mother needs to go on Oprah. Yeah, I'll drink to that. Way to go, Mom. A lot of people. No one is as lucky as I am to have a mom like that. Anyhow, we thought that that would be a great reprise commentary, especially since lately we've gotten quite a number of requests that be replayed, and it was updated. The media, well, never mind. We're not going to get into, well, get back to the subject today of the Saturday special. Welcome to hour number 2. It's 13 minutes past 11 a.m. Special guests Jonathan Emord, constitutional attorney from Washington, D.C., and Steve Wallach, CEO of American Longevity, a fine nutritional supplement company that I have been associated with for a good 8 or 9 years now. And we're going to go back to the telephone now, continuing our discussion of freedom of speech when it comes to the government preventing public from hearing absolutely positively proven scientific health information regarding nutritional supplements. I'm going to bring Jonathan back on and lock him in. I'm going to bring Steve back on and lock him in. You there, gentlemen? Okay, now let's go to our next caller, who's been waiting quite a while. That'll be Gary in Live Oak and then Bernie in New York. Gary, you're on the air.
Yeah, this won't be very long at all, but a couple of facts to throw in there. Actually, during the news break, they mentioned our ex-president fighting AIDS, Clinton. His top attorney was Lloyd Cutler, who was a lobbyist for the Pharmaceutical Manufacturing Association. as far as that earlier caller talking about profits, in the 1959-1960, there was a subcommittee, the Anti-Monopoly Subcommittee, headed by Estes Kefauver. And they said that that Schering had markups of 1,108% on its drug prednisone. And then they went on to go on with other profits of 10,000 to 20,000% profits. And the outcome from this Kefauver investigation was they suggested generic substitutes, and that was the end of Kefauver's career. And that might be why Sam might be a little bit shy of showing up. Also, it was John D. Rockefeller in 1982 that hired Frederick Gates in order to monopolize the medical education. It was incorporated by Daniel Coit Gill, member of Skull and Bones, like both Bush and Kerry. And the person he put in charge of it was Samuel Flexner. And he was the head of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research. The Flexner Report came out at the end of World War One, and instead of beginning of World War One, there were some 650 medical schools. They were reduced to 50. The annual graduates went from 7,500 to 2,500. But there's facts upon facts that show that this monopoly is still in hand. You can go to the president of the chairman of CD Cyril, which is E. Harbison. He was head of he was in the CIA from 49 to 67. Irving Kristol, whose son is Bill Kristol, that you see on Fox all the time. He was also the CIA. That's Warner Lambert. You can go to Squibb, which is Lewis Thomas, Yale, Rockefeller Institute. But they have a drug monopoly that is as hard as nails. And I congratulate these guys for their fight, because the people are with you. It's this handful of monopolists that really have their hands around the neck.
Well, I'm not sure Neil is with them, but and he's part of the people. But anyhow, Gary, thanks for your call to the Saturday special, okay?
You bet.
I appreciate it. There's Gary in Live Oak. And now, Bernie, the Bernie of the Wellness Hour with Bernie and Friends. How you doing, Bernie?
I'm doing fine and dandy. You're right. Neil really got my blood pressure up. Uh-huh. I'm glad I take a lot of extra calcium, I'll tell you that right now. The first thing I want to do is to, I don't know why I take it, I just take it. I don't want to tell anybody it could, you know, help high blood pressure. The first thing I want to do is offer Steve and Jonathan Emord to be on my show next Saturday, because, I'll tell you why, my Congressman Randy Kuhl, who said that they have never received anything from this area about this H.R. 4282, and really, they didn't even know about it, according to Bob Van Wickelen, who is on his board. Well, I tell you what, I then said I know personally that I had three responses back from Kuhl's office. My wife had one, that's in my family alone. My phones were ringing off the hook because I had a whole bunch of other people told me the same thing. But they didn't know anything about it. But he said he would get back to me, which he did about 2 days later. Said Randy wouldn't really be able to come on my show. But at this time, Randy did not want to tie up the hands of the FDA. And I said, sir, I will investigate this just a little bit farther. So it's up to you whether or not you want him to come on my show. And he says, he really is too busy. I said, okay, sir, then I'll make up what I think the reason he won't come on my show is. So I had somebody do a little investigating for me, and I found out during the month of April of 2005, Randy Kuhl received from Pfizer Corporation, I think, I'm pretty sure it's a drug company, $5,000. He also received $15,000 from other medical groups. That's in 1 month of April of 2005. I got it in black and white. I announced it over the air because I don't know whose hands he's really not trying to tie up. But if you read H.R. 4282, we don't want to tie up the FDA's hands. That's not what we're there for. And that's why I want Jonathan to come back on again. And we'll call Bob Van Wickelen this week and tell him that they will be on. And maybe he had better either let Randy come on the air or at least listen in.
What time is your show?
My show is on from 8 to 10 Eastern Time Saturday morning.
We carry just the final hour of it here on KSCO. Yeah, but hopefully you guys can make that happen. Bernie, thank you for bringing that perspective. That could be what's going on with Sam Farr, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt because, after all, he was only contacted, or his office was only contacted on Thursday.
Okay.
I just can't imagine, though, that someone could be so busy that they can't, you know, make time to be on the radio for even 5 minutes. And if he hasn't had enough time to listen to the then say so. You know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
at least tell me whether or not you know about the bill.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks for the good fight, my friend. Thank you for the good fight.
There goes Bernie. Now let's go to John in Santa Cruz. By the way, if you want to enter the conversation here, give us a call at AM 1080 KSCO at 479-1080 or 477-1340. The topic du jour is FDA censorship. Do we have freedom of speech in this country when it comes to the dissemination of vital health information? I say the answer is no. Each of my guests today on the Saturday special, pardon me, unequivocally say the answer is no. If you have a differing perspective or if you agree with us, give us a call because that's the topic today, 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to fax us, it's 475-2967. If you want to email me, you can do that anytime, but if you do it during the program, chances are I will broadcast the email, and we just lost Jonathan. So it's just you and me, Steve.
Okay, I'm still here.
No, he'll probably hopefully he'll call back here, but we do have someone named John in Santa Cruz that we will bring on right now. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for your guests. I've been listening to your KSCO radio station for years when you have guests on like this, and I just want to say that the suppression of the truth as far as health is concerned and vitamins and supplementations, it's been going on forever. You know, you go back to the 50s when Max Gerson cured 51 cases of incurable, quote-unquote, cancers and brought all of his findings to the sub-Senate committee back in the 50s, and that included all the patients that recovered, pictures, testimonies, and also 16 neutral medical doctors testifying in his behalf that what he had done through detoxification and herbs and vitamins cured these cancers. And another episode with Jonathan Wright, who you had on your radio station, the FDA marshals, the feds going in there and raiding his clinic and confiscating his natural synthetic preservative-free vitamin B solutions that were injectable. Stuff like that is just an absolute malady. It's a crime. It's appalling what goes on, and it centers around the drug companies. And to the caller that called from Hollister, all the power to you. If you're doing something good for humanity and you're making them healthy and you're not saturating with lies and poisonous toxic drugs and actually shortening their lifespan in the long run by these drugs, all the power to you. I hope you make billions of dollars doing that. And I'd like to leave you with that and tell the people to keep on listening because the truth will come out. And you have to go underground, so to speak, and learn about the truth about health and supplementations because you're not going to get it in the schools and the universities. And, of course, the medical doctors are not going to be trained in that, and they're going to be anti-supplementation because they're not profiting from the drug industry. So with that, I'll say thank you very much.
That you're very kind, John, and we certainly do tell people to listen, and we hope you will too. That was John, and now our next caller will be Theodora in Santa Cruz. Theodora, you're on the air with Jonathan Emord, Steve Wallach at MZ.
Hi. A couple of things, a quick comment on Neil, the pharmaceutical representative, having engaged in various efforts within Santa Cruz to promote healthier ways. I've often found that the opposition resorts to this kind of distraction. He didn't want to talk about exactly what the subject was, which was the right, you know, truth in advertising, but he wanted to distract us with, you know, who made how much profits and therefore they're all, you know, equally guilty of lying or what, you know, wherever he was going, he didn't want to deal with the issue at hand. And we have to be aware, as soon as you know our opponents cut into that kind of name-calling or distraction, that's they're not to go with him, and I'm glad you guys didn't and resisted his efforts to distract the conversation. So just wanted to point that out. But the other issue I'm deeply concerned about, which goes hand-in-hand with this one, is the Codex Alimentarius, which a lot of people don't know about. But while you're arguing to create truth in advertising, the World Trade Organization is basically coming in to try and limit our access to the vitamins and minerals and herbal nutraceuticals. So even if we know that what they're good for, we're not going to be able to access them, certainly not as easily as we can now. And are you guys familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Go
well,
ahead.
Well, let me encourage you to, you know, to run with this part of the topic a little bit and at least alert folks to this second aspect of attack on our health rights.
Thank you, Theodora. We will do that. Who wants to go first, Jonathan or Steve? Hello?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
If Jonathan is on, he's very familiar with this subject, so I'd defer to him.
Okay, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. First, I'd just very much like to thank both the last two callers. What brilliant listeners you have.
You know, it's a shame. You know, Steve has wanted me to have you on for a long time. I don't know what happened. If I would have listened to him a long time ago, you would have known a long time ago that KSCO Radio has the most intelligent audience of any radio station on Earth, and it's by design.
Well, I see. Well, perhaps you didn't have me on earlier because you were using pharmaceutical drugs.
Maybe. No. A little bit.
On this Codex Alimentarius issue, the Codex Alimentarius is a part of the World Health Organization and the FAO, both part of the United Nations, broadly speaking. And these, the Codex is a standard-setting body that has member nations from all around the world as a part of it. And when they come up with a standard, the standard, after going through a series of steps, quite a few steps, is then recommended to the member nations, and they can accept it or reject it. It's not an automatic thing at all. Now, what has happened here is the Codex Alimentarius actually served as a focal point for the development of a thing called the European Union Directive. And the European Union Directive goes into full effect in 2007, and it would have the effect in England and throughout Europe of taking about 230, 240 dietary supplements currently available off the market. Now, that's an extraordinary thing. It's hugely disadvantageous for the poor people in Europe who have to endure it, and it will increase disease and problems in Europe, no question about it. The Codex itself, however, while it is a recommended standard, is not automatically the law. And while our representatives there and the independent organizations that go to it are helping us by opposing this, even if these members do vote for a more restrictive standard, we still can oppose it here, and it will not automatically become law through the World Trade Organization, as is sometimes alleged, because the WTO actually would serve as a basis to challenge the imposition of more restrictive laws adopted under Codex if, for example, an American company were attempting to export a product and couldn't do it because of the adoption of such a standard. But this European Union directive is an extraordinarily disadvantageous thing for everyone concerned about access to supplements, and that's
well,
that's all I have to say.
So to summarize all that, Jonathan, do we here in the United States need to be very concerned about the effects of Codex Alimentarius?
I think it's helpful to be informed, but I don't think it's helpful to be hysterical or extremely upset, because it is unlikely to result in a direct problem for us anytime soon. We do have to fight, though. It's a bit, those are rumblings from overseas while we have an earthquake here, to use a California metaphor, in our own country with this problem of censorship. And
wow, okay.
So
I would focus our attention on this domestic issue as a priority,
sure.
But certainly be mindful of what's going on overseas.
Okay. Before I forget, I'm gonna take a break right now to let people know that there is a wonderful DVD, a wonderful video that is available online. Now, if you have you have to have a broadband connection, you have to have DSL or cable, high-speed internet for this to work. But if you want to see a really interesting 33-minute video on this subject, where you'll get to see Jonathan, you'll get to see Steve, and you'll get to see Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw. You can do that by typing in the following very easy to remember web address, and that would be freedom.ksco.com. Now, if you type in freedom.ksco.com, it might take 30 seconds to begin to load and stream, but you will see this DVD or video that you should you can tell this. It'll tell the whole story in 33 minutes, and it's definitely worth looking at. It's also available through, you can see it, parts of it if you want, through stopfdacensorship.org. And I would encourage you to visit Jonathan's e-more. He's too modest to promote it, his own website, but I'll do it for him here. That's e-more, E-M-O-R-D.com. E-more.com. At stopfdacensorship.org is where you can go to look at bits and pieces of this video that I've told you about, or you could go to freedom.ksco.com and it'll download right into your computer. It's 150 megabytes long, so it's a pretty big file, but it's definitely worthwhile. So if there's time in this program, I'm going to play. I'll try to play a 4-minute piece with Dirk and Sandy. But in any case, let's go back to the phone lines. It's 11:31. We got 29 minutes remaining in this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. Let's go back to the phones and welcome SoCal Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Yes. I want to mention at the outset that I take glucosamine every day, and so does my wife, glucosamine chondroitin. And I recommended by my wife's doctor after she got her hip replacement to take pill. Also, I understand it's in some dog foods, so we've been aware of it for a long time. I'd like to ask your guest whether my congressperson, Representative Anna Eshoo, has heard about Bill 4282, because that's who I have to call, because I was redistricting. I was Sam Farr's district.
Anna Eshoo has received some correspondence on the bill, but it sure would help if you could get in touch with her. I can give you her number. Both.
I have her number. That's okay. Hang up now because there are a lot of other people waiting. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you,
okay.
And please do get in touch with her.
Thanks,
bye.
Bob. And, here's Jeannie in Aptos. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Jeannie. You're on.
Hi, MC.
Hey.
I have a question for Jonathan. I have heard the new Medicare prescription drug coverage, when people that are on Medicare go to the doctor, the doctor has to look at a specified limited list of drugs that they can give to the patient. Is this true, Jonathan?
Yes, this is true, and this is a whole other story, but typical advice would be stay with your Medicare Blue, that is, with national coverage. Don't opt into the local plans, general advice. Unless you have a specific reason to do it. And on this prescription drug bill, by the way, if there's any proof of the absolute power of the drug monopoly, it is this. The extension of Medicare coverage to drugs is an enormous financial boon to the already fat drug company's profit margin. It's huge, and it's going to be yet another one of these federal programs riddled with waste and fraud and abuse. You can rest assured of that. As far as the problem goes with the drugs, again, what we'll have is a system that will cause the doctors to have to tend to prescribe those drugs that are covered by Medicare for Medicare beneficiaries. And it tends to limit the care and the available kinds of things that doctors can do. There's a thing called underutilization and overutilization. I'll mention this very quickly. Medicare considers it an abuse for a doctor to provide a Medicare beneficiary atypical care, whether that care is greater care, called overutilization, or less care, called underutilization. When a doctor doesn't give a one-size-fits-all approach to every patient, which of course is terrible because that's mediocre care instead of excellent care, when a doctor deviates from that, Medicare carriers may audit the doctor on the supposition that he is either giving a patient who is in Medicare too much care or too little care. And the doctor can be forced to give back to Medicare all monies given by Medicare to the doctor if it is found that he has given atypical care and there isn't an extensive written and documentary degree of proof to support the deviation from the typical care. What this in the end means is that, unfortunately, in our country, Medicare beneficiaries are receiving, on average, all too mediocre care. And excellence in medicine is so much so a thing of the past because of the progressive control over medical services by the insurance companies, the Medicare providers. That's too much of an answer, but there you go.
Yeah, I appreciate your definitive answer. Thanks, Jonathan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
There goes Jeannie in Aptos. And before we go to Ed in Aptos, I'm going to read an email that's very disturbing to me, but I'm going to address it. And the person who wrote the email said, please don't read this on the air. I'm going to read it on the air, but I'm not going to read the name of the person who wrote the email to protect that person's identity. Dear Michael, please don't read this on the air. I admire you and your station too much to criticize you publicly. I just wanted to say that I agree with the caller who felt today's format is just a bit too self-serving and infomercial-ish. I never listened to Dr. Wallach due to the same feeling regarding his shows, and am checking out early today to do some chores, but I'll certainly be back. I'm too addicted to your broadcasts to be gone for long. And that's from blah, 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 blah. And how I want to respond to blah, 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 is if she's still listening, which I hope she is, or he, I guess I'm giving a little bit of a clue as to the person's identity, right? I want to ask you, and I want to ask anybody else who might think that this is somehow less than integrity to be broadcasting this program because of my association with the American Longevity Company. If I was not associated with the American Longevity, and if KSCO was not associated with its American Longevity, and the exact same program was broadcast, would you feel a little differently? Well, the content is exact. I think the answer is yes, at least for Neil and from the person who wrote this email. And I just don't understand what makes people so anal. What we're talking about here is freedom of speech. It has nothing. It's so what that I'm a part of American Longevity? So what? So what that Jonathan Emord makes his income from or a part of his income from suing the federal agencies? So what? Does that somehow make the issue that we're talking about less important, or put some sort of a tarnish or on what we're doing? I'm very sad to receive an email like that, but I had to.
Hey, Michael, this is Steve.
Yeah,
can I
go ahead.
Just throw in two comments. First of all, as far as this being an infomercial format, I haven't heard a single commercial or suggestion, recommendation,
well, I think your father's name was mentioned once or twice, and I guess that's considered commercial because your father sells minerals, I guess.
Well, I haven't heard a single commercial in the hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes we've been on.
Yes.
The other comment
I have, saving them up.
The other comment I have would be that Jonathan Emord nor Dr. Wallach only sue the FDA. We have actually, as a company, and Dr. Wallach and Jonathan Emord being the attorney, we have defended the FDA. We've actually asked to join as co-defendants to be co-sued with the FDA in order to better defend them on this freedom of information aspect. And Jonathan can explain all that, but we've actually asked the court for permission to be a co-defendant when a group, a lobbyist group, had sued the FDA over the Pearson-Shalala decisions, as in Dirk Pearson, over the health claim petition system that the court mandated that the FDA set up and employ. So it's not just a one-sided situation where we continuously badger the FDA. We've actually defended them successfully. And again, our whole goal in this, and yes, it's politically driven and motivated, but our goal politically is to get this information out into the general public, out into the public domain. And we've done that to the point that even our competitors use our health claim petition claims that have been approved by the FDA to sell their supplements, and we think it's a good thing. It actually has the effect of cutting into our sales at times, but that's okay because
what's right
the whole goal
what's right is right.
Well, the whole goal is to get that information out to the general public
yes.
in order to save lives, as Jonathan Emord had said earlier. Like you just said, so what if this is a for-profit company? It's a vehicle to get that information out, and if we have a small part in some way of saving a percentage of those 110,000 American lives, that Jonathan Emord described in relation to sudden death heart attack information, getting that out, or the folic acid information, getting that out. I have two children of my own I'm very attached to and very, very thrilled that they're happy and healthy children. And I think everybody should have access to information that helps ensure that they have happy and healthy children. And that is the motivation and the goal of getting that information out. And there are much bigger, as Neil said, you know, will it help you sell supplements? I don't believe getting these health claim petitions directly approved has given us any advantage over other companies. There are much bigger companies out there in the health and nutrition industry and field that refuse to put their money into getting these health claims approved, refuse to submit health claim petitions to the FDA because it would cut into their profits. American Longevity is much smaller than some of those companies. And quite frankly, I'm embarrassed for our industry and very frustrated that those larger companies won't spend some of their profits to get more of these health claims submitted and approved.
Why buy the cow when the milk is free? I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, that's how some companies operate because they are more concerned about the bottom line.
Let somebody else do the heavy lifting. It's okay. Fine. If you want to call us self-serving, go ahead, Neil. It's fine. But it's not true. Okay, Patricia in Santa Cruz, you're our next caller.
Hello.
Welcome to the Saturday special.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey.
I'm a very rare caller. I love the food Saturday morning food show and the Saturday morning special, and also the constitutional program that follows. This is no way can anyone consider this an infomercial, and I think this is one of the most important issues in terms of freedom of speech and for our health. I just want to endorse you. I don't always agree with everything that Dr. Wallach has to say, and more power to you for being ingenious in finding a way to help support your radio station.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Patricia. You're
okay.
Very kind.
Bye.
Here comes Ed in Aptos. Ed, you're on the air.
Reading.
Hey.
Neil struck me as kind of throwing up a red herring, really. I wish you could have had one more round with him. I just thought. That,
well, if he wants to call. Now,
well,
we don't
you
use
put him on hold. I don't know if that was hold or just completely knocked him off. But anyhow, be that as it may, that I don't think that he was correct in his assumptions, and I think it was kind of a diversion.
Every once in a while, we get a bomb thrower, and you know, so Neil threw his bomb today. We can survive.
I guess it was about halfway through the first hour. I heard the good old C word of corruption, and I think that that's a very big problem with our federal government these days, and that the current Medicare drug bill is severely flawed. It's obvious because of all the problems people are having in the implementation of it now, and that the drug industry almost wrote the bill itself. If they, in fact, didn't get in there, they were very, very closely related to the people that did put the final bill up. And that if, you know, going against that kind of money, that, you know, it's kind of like peeing into the wind and tugging on Superman's cape.
Okay, well, I don't want to be Ed, thanks very much for that. I appreciate your call to the Saturday special. That's a great segue to what I wanted to ask Jonathan. Do you think there's a snowball's chance in hell of this happening, of this passing, Jonathan?
Oh, sure I do.
Tell me why.
Well, because every fight that I've fought against the Food and Drug Administration, I've been told in advance of it that there's no chance you'll win. And we've won anyway.
Well, I'm not telling you that, but I guess I'm suggesting there's so much money, you know, to do individual little individual health claims. You know, of course you could win those things.
Well, this
but
is
this
a
is
David...
a this is a sweeping thing that's seminal, that changes everything, that upsets the entire apple cart.
Well, I'm not here for anything less. This is a David versus Goliath fight, no question about it. And it takes a lot of energy. And there are 100 companies behind this. Companies and individuals and public interest groups and scientists and doctors and so forth. And they're all listed on my website. You can go there and see a list of the names of the people and so forth behind it. But here's the thing. None of us has any naive notion that this is going to be easy. But I'll tell you what we do know. We know that none of us is going to give up, no matter what. And programs like yours all over the country are communicating this information. We have one company that's going to put forth enough resources to get 100 million Americans aware of the problem, half the American population. And I have faith in the American people, and I think that if enough people come to realize this is sacrificing their freedom of speech, their right to receive truthful information, and that it means that the health of themselves and their children and the next generation will be sacrificed for the benefit of the profits of a few of the largest companies in the world, I think they're going to be angry, and I think they're going to react to it. Now, do I know this bill will pass? No. But I know I'm going to do everything I can as one human being to cause it to happen, and I know Steve will, and I know many of us will do that very same thing. And I think the growth of this bill is very promising. We have 15 members of Congress who've publicly endorsed this bill from all parties within 1 month of its submission. It was submitted to Congress on November the 9th.
That was the 54th anniversary of my birth.
There you go, and that's why we did it on the 9th for sure.
Okay.
And then we have 100 companies supporting it within 1 month of it happening. And we have the extraordinary things going on, like the Reverend James E. Orange endorsing the bill, the Martin Luther King March. Here he is, a major civil rights advocate, realizing what it's about. We are going to speak in favor of that bill.
Yeah, are you nervous about are you nervous about speaking before 300,000 people day after tomorrow?
You know what? I'm not. And the reason is that I'm inspired to say these things because I know that it's essential, and I think it's an important cause. I'm not one to be worried or bothered by large bodies of people or virtually anything where a struggle is involved. I just know that it has to be done, and I know that it's a huge opportunity to convey to a large body of people all at once a major civil rights message, and that's what this is about. This is about our rights, and that's why Sam Farr should get on this bill. That's why others like Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman from Atlanta, Georgia, Liberal Democrat, Peter DeFazio, Liberal Democrat from Oregon, and many others, Lynn Woosley from California, Liberal Democrat, that's why they're on this bill, because they realize it cuts across party lines. This is a civil rights issue, and that's why Sam Farr should get on it. And I'll tell you this, if Sam Farr doesn't get on the bill or doesn't directly answer whether he will or not, that's a cop-out. If he says he's against it and gives his reasons why, all right, he should come on your show and do that. These are his constituents. They deserve a direct answer. He's not there because, anything other than people voting him there, and they are entitled to know.
You and I both know that the most important thing on any politician's mind is one thing, getting reelected and remaining in power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For as long as they can. And you're talking to someone who has a lot of experience in this area, Jonathan. We've had the station, it'll be 15 years this 31st of this month, and learned an awful lot about what drives politicians. And early on, some politicians would figure, we used to put on these candidates forums, you know, in advance of an election to expose everybody to all, you make your own decision, right? And the station sponsored those forums, and every once in a while, a pretty popular incumbent would figure, we're not going to go on that conservative station in the liberal town because, you know, what can it possibly do for it? Well, what it did against them is got them booted out, because even the people who are with them, who think just like they, who think they are their the people who put them in, take it as a personal affront that they won't even get on the radio, on the local radio station, to have an interaction, to talk with them at election time. And so just about every politician that I know, including Sam Farr, I'm willing to say right now that if this was a one-day advance notice candidates forum program, you know, where there was an election ahead, Sam would cancel to be on it, you know.
Right.
Anyway, it's just not that important to him at this point, but maybe it will be. And who knows, and maybe he'll support it.
I'll tell you, I would keep the pressure on. I would have your station keep asking him. You've had a number of calls come in revealing keen interest, and if those are representative, which no doubt you know they are, he has to answer the question. His constituents want to know where he stands on this bill. It's a cop-out not to answer the question. The basic duty of a representative is to explain himself to his constituents.
Sure. Okay. We're going to take a short commercial break now, and then we're going to come back. And if last chance, if you want to call 479-1080 or 477-1340, you've got about 8 minutes left. And if we have some callers when we come back, we might take those calls. Otherwise, I'm going to play a little piece of the Freedom on Trial video. You'll hear the audio, of course.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Party time!
Yeah.
Some tequila for the fiesta. A little tequila to make the party fun. Some tequila for your little ones.
Right.
A little tequila and their problem drinking might have begun. Tequila shots are all it could take. It's fun now, but it could be a mistake. Tequila shots are all it could take. It's fun now, but it could be a mistake.
Tequila! Nothing better for celebrating with your kids and introducing them to potential alcohol abuse.
Remember that the younger he starts drinking, the more likely he is to abuse it. Don't give alcohol to your kids. To learn more, visit www.foryourchild.org or call 1-877-767-8844. A message from Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to the Saturday special. We have Audrey on the line. Audrey, you're now on the air. Hello? Oh, just a sec here. You there?
Hello?
Audrey.
Hello?
Oh, Andy?
Andy, that's right.
Jeez. Is it your spelling, Michael, or is it my eyeballs? Anyhow, you're on the air, Andy. Sorry.
Okay, I want to recommend another piece of legislation and congratulate you on supporting this one.
Okay.
Because you're doing the right thing, and don't take all this information about all this criticism to heart, because it's not correct.
Oh, it's okay? Not all that much, just a tiny little bit. We got thicker skin.
Good. This show is really excellent, and we really want to put Sam Farr on the line. And I want to recommend another piece of legislation. I want to plant a seed and let it grow and really take hold. And I got this from Ed McCabe, who said there's a law in Germany that requires doctors to tell people if there is a remedy in one of four categories, and the fourth category is nutrition. And it's a very, very simple law. A doctor is required to tell a patient if there is a possible cure in the areas of radiation, chemotherapy.
Interesting. Have you ever heard of that, Jonathan or Steve?
Well, even if it's not there, you can still do it because it would be just very simple, but it would be very, very far-reaching.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Many thanks for your call.
Quickly,
you guys, have you heard anything about that?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, maybe that'll be the one after this one gets passed, Jonathan. What do you think? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll figure out. Let's see if we can play a little piece of that interview that's on the DVD that I highly recommend people download from freedom.ksco.com.
As well as the freedom of informed choice, the FDA versus nutrient supplements. They've been advocates for free speech and against FDA First Amendment violations since 1978. Together, they spearheaded the landmark Pearson versus Shalala victory over FDA censorship. Dirk, how did you come to challenge the FDA on the grounds of the First Amendment?
Well, back in 1968, when we started studying aging mechanisms and ways of intervening in them to extend the human lifespan, what you could do was limited by what was known scientifically, and that wasn't a whole lot back in 68. By the time we wrote our best-selling book, Life Extension, A Practical Scientific Approach, in 82, the limits were actually what the FDA would allow manufacturers of products to say about them. And, of course, if you can't say what a product does, there's not a whole lot of incentive to spend a lot of money developing a product that works. So we needed to do something about that FDA violation of the First Amendment, which is preventing life-saving information from getting from the scientists and the manufacturers to prospective customers.
Mm-hmm. And so when you came up with that idea, let's go after them on First Amendment, was it easy to find a lawyer?
Yes, the next problem was to find a lawyer who would be somebody who would not only be knowledgeable about the First Amendment, but who would also be interested in this kind of a case, passionately committed to this sort of a case, because we knew it would take a long time.
Well, in fact, we wrote a book to help find that lawyer, our FDA versus nutrient supplements, Freedom of Informed Choice. One of the major functions of that was try to find an attorney that knew First Amendment jurisprudence, commercial speech jurisprudence, and had the courage to take on the FDA. When we first talked to Jonathan over the phone, he said, well, you know, how far do you want me to go? Most of my clients, they're having some problem with the FDA, and they want some administrative reinterpretation to ameliorate a particular problem. They don't want to get the FDA mad at them and then destroy them. You know, this is going to make the FDA very mad at you if you assert your First Amendment rights.
And we said, good, we want our First Amendment rights. And if we have to make the FDA mad at us, too bad.
Yeah. Anyhow, that was really good. So I enjoyed that. Freedom.ksco.com if you want to download that. It's 33 minutes. Definitely worth viewing. And if you want to easily support the bill, go to stopfdacensorship.org and enter your zip code, and you can click on an email that will automatically be sent to your representative. So we're in the home stretch of the program, Steve and Jonathan. Anything you want to add before we sign off? Hello?
Well, I might mention Anna Eschew was mentioned before. And for those who are in her district, which includes what parts? Palo Alto, I think.
And even a little part of Santa Cruz County called Soquel.
She is on the committee that has the bill. She's critical. She's on the committee that has the bill, and you can reach her at 650-323-2984. And please do. It'll make a huge difference. Tell her you support the bill. Call that number and tell her, and it'll make a huge difference. She's on the committee that has the bill, which means that it's very important that she vote in favor of it and that she get behind it. Another thing, I've just been handed a note here that says, plug your own radio program.
I was going to say break a leg. It starts today, right?
It does, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, an hour from now. It's called Health, Law, and Politics. And people can listen to it over the web on talkstarradio.com.
Okay, great.
Today's topic is the FDA's ephedra ban.
Okay, Very good. Yeah, we wish you well and great success with your own radio show, Jonathan. You're emerging from a guest to a host, so that's great. Steve, always great to talk with you. Continued success in running American Longevity. You're doing a great job. And we'll talk to you all later on next time around. This program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at saturdayspecial.com or through our KSCO.com website. So we will see you next week.
Here is KZ.
No, no, not that. Here, this. Okay.
That's all, folks.